Hi, my name is John Austin. I'm a technical writer with the Link product group, and in this video series I'll show you how you can use C# code and the Link Client 2013 SDK to build your own simple online meeting content management application. This is what the application does. Starts an online meeting with people selected by the sign-in user, uploads a file to the meeting as an attachment, downloads a meeting attachment or PowerPoint slide deck, uploads a PowerPoint slide deck and scrolls through the slides in the meeting, starts a whiteboarding session and saves any annotations made in the whiteboard. This installment of the video series shows you how to upload and download file attachments. The next installment in this series shows you how to upload a PowerPoint slide deck and then scroll through the slide. So we'll start our conversation by selecting two users from the contact list and then pressing the start button, which starts the conversation. Both of these users will have gotten an invitation to the conversation, and the text of the invitation you can see there in the conversation window. This local user is notified when each user has accepted the conversation. Now, one of the two users is going to upload an attachment to the meeting, which will show up in the meeting content bin, which currently is empty. The state of the content sharing modality is disconnected at the moment. You'll see a toast there, which is accepted. State of the content sharing modality goes to connected, and the file that was uploaded by the other user is now attached. I'm going to download the attachment by choosing a download folder. And you can see here that's the path that we've got it downloaded to. Let's open that folder, make sure the file is there. There it is. So that's downloading an attachment from another user. Now let's show you how to upload an attachment from the local user. So we'll start by picking an attachment. And I'll take it from the upload folder, choose that document. And now I'm going to actually upload it, push it up to the server, which I've got right there. Now it's in the content bin, and anyone can download it. I can even download it. In fact, I will download it myself by pressing the download button, choosing the download folder, and now it's downloaded back to me in the download folder. In fact, let me show you. Here it is right here. That's the file. So now we've uploaded files, we've downloaded files, and that's really all there is to uploading and downloading files. However, you can also download a PowerPoint presentation that either you or somebody else has uploaded. So let's do that. Pick the same download folder, choose the OK. Told me that it's just downloaded my PowerPoint. Let's go look at the folder. And there it is. So you can download PowerPoint presentations as well as native file attachments. So there's our demonstration. Okay, let's take a look at the code in this content sharing sample. We're going to focus on the file attachment stuff. So to start with this new project, we're going to the project properties, and we're going to see what we have set there. And looks like we're setting the assembly name to content sharing and the default namespace content sharing. And then we'll set the framework to client for client profile. You don't need to set it to network net framework 5. It's a Windows application, so we'll set the output to Windows application. We're going to add a reference to the Microsoft Link model assembly, which you get in when you install the Link Client SDK. And then we're going to have all of our code residing in one module, which is the content sharing module. And all of the source code will be in this content sharing module code behind file. Now the next thing we do is we add four using statements for these four Microsoft Link model namespaces. So there's model, group, conversation, and sharing. And each one of them has some great functionality in it, but the focus of what we're going to be doing today is looking at what's in the sharing namespace. Okay, now that we've declared our namespaces, let's go ahead and declare some fields, class fields. We're going to use about 6 or 7 class fields to support our features today. Let's see, this code snippet. Good. So we're going to declare an instance of link model, and that is the platform entry point. We're going to have a conversation object, which is really our online meeting. I'll call this meeting a conversation in this walkthrough. So meeting, conversation, same thing. We're going to declare a dictionary, which is going to hold all of the contact objects that we've selected to join the conversation. The dictionary key will be the contact URI. Then we're going to have a couple of strings, one for the path to an attachment we upload, and one for the name of the file that we'll upload as an attachment. And we'll use those strings to branch some logic to later in this sample. Okay, so inside of the content sharing form load event, the first thing we want to do, get out of the way there, Solution Explorer. The first thing we want to do is get an instance of link client. And so we're going to make a call to the static get client method on the link client class. There we go. So now we've cached our link client object, which is our API entry point. We also want to make sure that the client itself is not running in UI suppression, because if it is, what am I doing here? Back up. There we go. Right here. We're going to check to see what the suppression state is of the link client. And if it's suppressed, we'll close the application. Otherwise, we'll leave it running. So I got a snippet for that. Give me a second here. Come on. I know it's here somewhere. I think it's... There we go. Okay, so all I'm doing is looking at the in suppressed mode property on the link client. If it's true, then I'm in suppression mode, and I'm going to tell the user, look, you're in UI suppression mode, we're not going to share. And then I'll close the application. Otherwise, I'm going to continue running. So the first thing I'm going to do here at this point is sign the user in if they're not signed in already. And we do that by making a call on the link client object we have. That call is, well, actually first I want to check the current state of the client. And if it is signed out, I'm going to sign in with this call to begin sign in. Pass a set of credentials. I'll call Terry Anderson at Conto, so you, of course, will sign in anyone you wish. So after you've signed in, then you want to register for some events. We'll register on the events on the client and on the conversation manager. The first event we register for is on the client. It's a state changed event, and that event is fired when we go from disconnected to connecting. I'm sorry, from signed out to signing in to signed in. And then we get an event when a new conversation is added. And that conversation can be added by this application, by the local link client itself, or by a remote client when they invite the local client to a new conversation. Three possibilities for conversation added, and we're interested in only that conversation added by our own application. We're also interested in when a conversation is ended. And in that case, we register for the conversation removed event right there. And that will be raised when our conversation ends. And with this, we enable our start button, and then we're going to load our UI with all of the contacts in the user's contact list so that they can select from those contacts to start the conversation. And we do that in this load all contacts helper method by reading the groups property on the contact manager. There we go. See, I'm iterating on the groups property, which is a collection, in the contact manager. And for each group, I'm going to iterate on that group's contacts. And each contact exposes an URI string, which I'm going to compare to the collection of URI strings in the contact list box. And if it's already in there, I'm not going to add it, because a contact can be in multiple groups, which means I can encounter the same contact multiple times in this for each loop. So I'm saying if I don't contain the contact, add the contact right there. And it's actually the contact URI string I'm adding, not the actual contact itself. So that's how I build this list box of all the contacts that you can add to a conversation. Now we're ready to start the conversation, so we're going to wait for the user to press the start button. And under the start button, we are going to create the new conversation, and we're going to collect all the contacts that they've selected for the conversation. There we go. So here I'm saying if I haven't already started a conversation, because if I start the conversation, I will fill this class field. So if it's null, that means I haven't already started a conversation, so I'm going to start one. But before I start the conversation, I'm going to collect all of the selected contact URIs from the contact list box. And for each URI, I'm going to get an actual contact object by calling getContactByURI, passing that selected string in, and I'll get back a contact. And then I'm going to add that contact object and its URI string to this dictionary, where the string is the key and the contact itself is the object. Now, we're going to use this cached collection of contacts in a little bit. Meanwhile, we want to add the whole new conversation by calling add conversation on the contact manager, conversation manager rather, and getting a conversation object back, which is not fully provisioned and is waiting for the client and the link server to complete a SIP dialog, which establishes the conversation on the server. When that happens, then we raise the conversation added event, which is where all of the work is going to get done here. So there's a lot of work to do here. And most importantly, we want to filter out some other kind of conversation I'm calling a shadow conversation, which only occurs if your client has turned on tabbed conversations and has multiple conversations running and has connected the content sharing modality to one of those conversations. And that third condition triggers this conversation added, and it gives you a conversation that you must ignore. We call that a filter shadow conversation, and we filter it out. So here, let me show you how we filter out these so-called shadow conversations. We want to filter them and not react to them. So let me see if I can find that helper method that I wrote to do the filtering. Give me a second here. I know where it is. It's called isShadowConversation. There we go. Okay, so inside of this method here, I'll return a true if this is a shadow conversation that we don't want to keep. We're going to do a couple of tests to determine whether it's a shadow conversation. First, we'll look at the self-participant property of this new conversation we get from the event. If it isn't null, then it's not a shadow conversation. It's legitimate, and we want to attempt to further process it. If it is null, it might still be legitimate, but it's a conversation that was sent to us in an invitation from another user, and we might want to handle that. So the second test to determine whether it's shadow is to go through the new conversation's modalities, every one of them, and look at the state of each of these modalities. If any one of them is notified, then it's a legitimate conversation. It's not a shadow conversation, and again, we return false. So if neither of these two tests are passed, if I don't return false anywhere, then here at this point, I know it's a shadow conversation, and I'm going to go ahead and return true right here. So the calling code right here in the conversation added event, whoa, there we go. In this calling code, we're going to call our little helper method this way. See, I'm just saying is shadow conversation, passing the new conversation, and if true is returned, I return. I don't handle a conversation. Otherwise, I'm going to go on processing this event. Now I want to find out if this, given that this is a legitimate conversation having passed this other filter, I want to find out if this conversation is one that we started by in the start button, or that it's a conversation started by the user in the link client, or if it's an incoming conversation. So how do you know? Well, you compare the conversation returned in the conversation added to the conversation we got when we called add conversation. If they're not the same, I'm going to return. If they're the same object, I'll continue processing. Now that I know at this point on line 255 that this is my conversation that I want to continue processing, I'm going to do a lot more work here. Well, the most important thing I'm going to do is register for some interesting events. So the conversation raises a participant added event as soon as one of our participants we invited has been added to the conversation. We want to know that. If one of our participants leaves the conversation, we want to know that as well. If the conversation content sharing modality, let me scroll over a little bit. There we go. If the content sharing modality changes, we want to know that, so we handle that with the modality state changed event. And if an action such as accept or reject or upload or download is changed on the conversation content sharing, if one of those availabilities is changed, we want to know that, so we handle that event. We want to know if content is added to the content bin in the conversation by either us or a remote participant, we'll handle that event. And if a content item is removed, we want to know that. And we do this because we're going to maintain on our UI a list of all the items in the content bin and let the user select among them and take action on those. Excuse me. Now that we've got our events, now let's go ahead and add our contacts that we've selected to the meeting or the conversation. And we do that by, let's see, we're going to take our dictionary that we cached. Oh, I'm sorry, before we do that, Let's make sure that the conversation is going to allow us to add participants. So we'll call our all-important canInvoke and pass the addParticipantConversationAction enumerator. If that returns true, that means our conversation is willing to accept new participants. Now, if it returned false, it's because the conversation was in an invalid state beyond our control. And so we let the canInvoke take care of the state for us, or state checks. Now we're going to iterate on our selected contacts dictionary. And with each contact that we get out of the dictionary, we're going to go ahead and add it to the conversation by calling the add participant message on the conversation. And that raises the participant added event. Finally, in the conversation added event, we're going to send the first IM message to all participants. And that IM message is what sets off these invitations on all these other remote endpoints. So in the conversation, instant message modality, we're going to call this begin send message async method. That's just the hello string we're passing. And this IM send callback is simply going to call end send message on the conversation instant message modality. I'm not going to go there. It's actually fairly simple, just one line of code inside the callback. Let's see, what's next? Okay. So in the participant added event, let's show you what we're doing here. Do this for every participant. And it's mostly just event registration. Let me find that snippet. It's this one right here, 7.0. Okay. Okay, so for every participant, local participant and remote participants, we're going to register for this instant message modality state change. We'll use that to prompt us to add the participant to the UI as they accept the conversation invitation. That event is raised as a modality state change. The modality becomes connected when the user is accepting. The local participant also has this content sharing modality, but it's a duplicate of the conversation content sharing modality. So what we'll do is, for anyone who's not a local participant, we're going to register on those users' action availability changed events on their own copy of a content sharing modality. And that each participant has a content sharing modality, which is can be used to raise participant-specific action availability changes. So keep that in mind. We're going to come back and visit that in a little bit. Okay, so when the participant accepts the IM invitation, their IM modality state changes to connected. And we use that state change to trigger the adding of that URI to the contact list. So we're going to look at the sender object, which is really a modality object for the participant. We're going to call a reflection get type method, look at the name. If it is actually the instant message modality that raised the event, we'll look at the state. If the state is now connected on this instant message modality for this participant, we're going to invoke a delegate on the UI thread that will add the contact to this list. And by the way, this event is raised on the platform thread. And to avoid a cross-threading exception, we have to invoke a delegate. That's what we do right here. Okay, now that we've got the participant in the contact list on the URI, the UI, and the user sees who's joined the meeting, now what we want to do is wait for some remote user to upload an attachment to the meeting, which generates a content sharing request to us, which we want to accept or otherwise. The accept action becomes available on the sharing modality action availability changed event for that participant, the participant we registered for in the participant added event. Anyway, so now you know which content sharing modality is used to raise the action changed event. Now we look for the case where the modality action that changed is the accept action. That means you can now accept a content sharing request on a remote user, the remote user whose modality raises this event. So let's cache that remote user's content sharing modality. We'll use it in a second or two. And let's go ahead and enable the accept button on our UI. We have to use, a delegate, because this event is on the platform thread and the accept button is owned by the UI thread. So we have to use a delegate, which is simply going to say, hey, accept button, set your enable state to whatever that is of the availability, which is going to be true. So now anyway, the accept button is now enabled, and that cues the user that they can press the button, and they do press the button because they want to accept sharing. And so then what we do is we double check that the remote participant sharing modality will accept the accept method, so we call the can invoke, and then we call the accept method on that remote, that cached remote user's content sharing modality. That now accepts content sharing, and it'll actually connect the content sharing modality of the conversation. Okay, now that it's accepted, now we want to select the content that has been uploaded by their remote user, and the user will press the download button after they've accepted the content sharing, and then they're going to get the folder that they're going to download the file to from this folder browse. I open it up and I ask the user what folder they want to save their download file in. They tell me using the I read the selected path property. I cache the download path string, which is going to be used as a storage location for the file to be downloaded. Excuse me. Now we want to find the shareable content object, which encapsulates the file that the remote user has attached to the meeting. And I get that by iterating on the content bin of the conversation. So what I do is I get the content collection on the conversation content bin. And then I compare each individual shareable content item to a string that I've let the user has selected out of the content bin list box on the UI. And the components of the string are the shareable content type and the shareable content title. And I'm concatenating a hyphen between them. And I compare that composition with the list box selected item. And if they're the same, then I've got the same, very same shareable content item. I'm going to cache that shareable content item. And then I'm going to download that item. So to download the item, see, I got to get this other snippet here. Where is that one? OK, it's this one right here. There we go. So I'm going to double check that I've actually found a content in the content bin to download, checking this content download object. And I need the title of that content, which is really the disk file name that the other user of the other user's content. I'm going to use that same file name. I can get it out of the title property of the content to download, or the shareable content. And that title property could be empty, and if it is, I'll use the alternate method to get the title. And I'm going to look at the properties collection on the shareable content. And I'll use the shareable content property enumeration. And the enumerator I'm looking at is the title enumerator. And that will give me the title of the file. I'm going to cache that in this download file title. So I've got the string that holds, one string holds the path that they want to download to, the other string holds the title or the name of the file that will be downloaded. Okay, now I'm going to take that shareable content, which is the encapsulated file. I'm going to call a can invoke on it to make sure that I can still download the file. And if I can, I'm going to call begin download on that shareable content, pass it the path I want to save to, concatenate the slash, put the file title name in. And then I'm going to embed a lambda expression, which is going to be invoked by the platform asynchronously when the file is downloaded. And the end file and download file returns a string, which is the path and file name that I've downloaded. And then I'm going to show the user, you've just downloaded this file. And then they can go and get it and open it and do whatever they do with it. Here's my show statement. So that's downloading a file. Fairly simple. But we want to look at what it takes to upload a file, too. The user can upload a file at any time. So the first thing I do is I present them with a button that allows them to choose a file to upload. When they click the button, I'm going to just display a file dialog asking them to pick a file, which they do. And once they've picked the file that they want, and they press the OK button on the dialog, I'm going to save the file name, and I'm going to save the path. File name and path of the file that they want to upload to the meeting as content. So I've got these two strings, that's all I've got so far. I'm going to use another button to actually kick off the uploading of the file itself. And that's, yeah, there, right there. Upload native file. There's a few pieces of, a few tasks I need to accomplish before I actually upload the file, and they're conditional tasks. Well, the first thing I want to do is make sure the user actually picked a file. So I'm looking at the path and name string, and if either of them are blank, I'm not going to try to upload. I'll just return from this little method. The other important thing is I have to look at the conversation modal, content sharing modality, and it's going to be connected or it's not going to be connected. If I haven't already accepted a content sharing session with another user, then it won't be connected for me, and then I have to connect it first and then upload the file. So in the first test, I'm saying if I'm already connected, just upload the file with this helper method call. I'll show you that later. If it's not connected, I want to connect it using this connect CSM helper method, which I created, and that'll actually start the content sharing modality connect process, which I'm going to show you right here when I find the snippet. Here it is. Okay, so the first thing I do is I get the conversation content sharing modality right there. Then I call this begin connect method. I'm going to pass a lambda expression into it. And this is it right here. And in the lambda, I'm just going to call the end connect on that same conversation content sharing modality. And that starts the connecting process. That doesn't actually connect the modality instantly. It just starts the process. Now you can track the progress of that process in the modality state changed event, which we registered for on the conversation when the conversation was added. So let me see if I can find that event handler for modality state changed. Oh, yep, there it is right there. So there's a modality state changed event. It'll get raised as the modality starts going from disconnected to connected and the steps between. Each step it raises this event and you get you can handle the event and do, there's a lot of code here. That's right. So this event is raised on any of my modalities, not just content sharing. But I only want to handle it here when I'm in the content sharing modality. So I'm going to get the sender or the object, which is the modality, get its type, and ask for the name property. So I can tell whether this is a content sharing modality or some other modality. Well, it is the content sharing modality. So now I'm going to cache the modality that raised the event in this modality field. And then I'm going to compare this modality with the conversation content sharing modality. And if it's the same modality, then I know it's not a participant's content sharing modality. It is the actual conversation content sharing modality. There's the local copy, and there's I'm comparing it. And if this content sharing modality is the conversation content sharing modality, then I'm going to check its new. Yeah, that's the same. Okay, I'll check the new state, and if the state is of the modality is connecting, I'm going to set my little UI widget to gold or yellow, meaning I'm connecting. If I have connected already, I'll set my little widget to green. Otherwise, I'm going to set it to red for disconnected. My goal is to get this modality green, or connected. That allows me to do uploads and downloads. Unless it's green, I can't upload or download. Okay, so now that the content sharing modality is connected, there are some other events that start firing on that content sharing modality. These are action availability changed events. And we're looking for an event that tells us that creating native file content is available now. So here, under this event action case, let me put this snippet in this right there. I think that's it. Yep, that's the one. First thing I do is I look at the new availability of the action that I'm looking for. And if it's false, if I can't upload or create a shareable native file content, I'll just return from this event and wait for it to fire again with true. But if it is true, now I want to check to make sure that the user has selected a file name and a file path representing a file to be uploaded. There's the file name. Look at the length. It's not zero. Path is not zero. Then I'm going to go ahead and call my upload a file helper method. And this is where we get to the meat of the issue. There we go. I've got a snippet for that too, of course. Let me pull that up. Let's see. Yep, there we go. Okay, first, let me make sure that the conversation content sharing modality lets me create shareables. So I'm going to call this canInvoke method pass the modality action of create shareable native file only content. If it returns true, then I can upload a file. Now, for the sake of readability, I'm going to cache the conversation content sharing modality in this local variable content sharing modality right here. There. Now that I've cached it, I'm going to call this, let's see. Yeah. Oh, well, it's on the, I forgot to tell you, it's on the conversation modality class, collection. Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. So we call begin create content from file, and that's going to create an object which will encapsulate the physical file which the user had already selected. This encapsulation object is called a shareable content object. I'm going to pass a few parameters in. First, I'm going to specify that it's a native file. Then I'm going to create. Second, I'm going to pass in the name and the path. Third, I'm going to pass in a Boolean, which when set to true means, yes, I have a physical file which I'm going to upload as an attachment when I call the upload method further down. And then, of course, I'm going to have a lambda expression, which is called asynchronously by the platform. That lambda expression is going to do a couple of interesting things. One, it's going to call the end create content from file method, which will return the new shareable content object which encapsulates the physical file right there. And it's that object that we're going to use to call the upload method, which will actually upload the physical file to the meeting as an attachment. And once that's uploaded as an attachment, other meeting participants can now download the file if they need to. And that's it. That's all it takes. Hope you had fun with it, like I did.